Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Thank you guys. We're going to start by getting straight into the Word because I love the Word. So I'm going to encourage you, if you've got your physical Bible here, can you grab that and open it up? And we're going to go straight to, thank you to the band. You guys could take your seats. Sorry guys. Imagine standing there for another whole half an hour. Awesome. So Song of Solomon chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 10. And I actually want you, while we're reading, to just imagine that this is the Lord coming and actually speaking this to you personally. And so it reads, "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes. Give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.'" And now I love this scripture because I feel like the Lord, especially this year, it's a word that he gave me for 2024, was to come away with him and just strip back to that secret place with him where it's just back to the simple gospel and back into a deep, digging your roots deep into the ground and getting into a deep, intimate relationship with him and prioritizing him above all. And I love this scripture. It says, rise up. So rise up from the grave, from the ashes, from all of the things that have just come and just the distraction and the things that are going on in our world. There's just so much mess and just things that bring us down. And he's saying to rise up in this season and come away with him. And so, yeah, I really just wanted to start with that and to just posture our hearts as we read from the Word and I teach from the workbook this evening. I want you to come to the Lord and just ask him, like, Lord, would you just fill me again? Would you just take me to that deep place? Take me to the secret place with you. Even as you're sitting in your seats tonight, I pray that you would just encounter the Lord in a fresh way. And so if you purchased a book this morning, I'm going to get you to go to the first chapter, which is called The Secret Place, and you can follow along with me. And if you don't have your workbook yet, I'm going to get you to go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." And I love that verse. I feel like I could get emotional every time I read it because we have given a personal invitation to dine with the Lord, to come before him and to just be in his presence and in the secret place. And that is generally a place where you take time out to be with him. And I know sometimes life can get busy. I don't know, some of you know me, but a lot of you don't. But I'm a single mum. And so I've been a single mum for nearly 6 years now, about 6 years. And so I've had to go on this journey myself of finding and creating space to get to the secret place with the Lord. And it's hard because we're busy. And, you know, as the man was saying, the cost of living is just rising. And so we're working harder than before. And I feel like it's taking away from that space and the time that we have to actually go to the secret place and spend time with him. And so my heart for you guys is to, I guess, learn how to create a space when we don't actually have that much time on our hands. But at the same time, realizing and prioritizing Jesus and the Word of God, because there is so many distractions nowadays. Like, we've got social media, and I feel like even for myself, I constantly have to go on and off and on and off because it's such a distraction. And so, the secret place. I've found that you can go to the secret place even in short little snippets and moments of time throughout your day. For example, like putting the washing in the washing machine, and instead of sitting there and, you know, dragging it from the washing machine to the dryer or hanging the washing out when you're hanging it up to dry and thinking about how much of a chore it is, just changing your, your mindset and always having your eyes focused on Jesus. Like, how can I meet Jesus in this time? You can be thanking him, praising him. Thank you, Lord, that I can afford to do my laundry. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I can, I have clothes to wear, and I actually have the ability to hang my clothes up. And so it's always just thinking of pockets of time where you can just take that space to praise him, to love upon him. And so it doesn't always have to be looking like, you know, shutting your bedroom door and having that quiet time, because I know there's probably others of you who, like me, don't actually often get time by ourselves. And when we do, it's nighttime. But I just want to share a quick little testimony on that, because I found that, like, working more, I'd want to go to bed really early, and like I'd want to switch off by just having a bit of a scroll and then going to sleep. And then I found that I just wasn't spending the time with Jesus that I wanted to when I picked up more work. And so for me, I had to prioritize him, which meant I had to give something. So I had to sacrifice something, and that was my sleep. But the Lord is so good, because every single time that I would sacrifice my sleep and I would be up till late hours of the night once my children had gone to bed, the next day I would have more energy and feel more alive than I did had I not spent time with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you that if you take the time to give it to Jesus, he's going to absolutely bless you for that. Like, he loves you so much, and he gave his life. God gave his son for you. And so what is a little pocket of time for us in the evening when we're tired, in the morning when we're tired, setting that alarm earlier, staying up that bit later to just sit at his feet and love upon our Savior? And so I'm going to get you to go to Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 2 to 3. And that says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And so I just want to highlight that taking time out to spend time with God was a vital part of the ministry of Jesus. He was constantly taking time out to be with God. And when we do that, it helps us to firmly plant our roots strong in him. It says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." And we know that rivers often and water often represents the Holy Spirit. And it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. So it's like a delight. Like, when you come to Jesus, it's changing that mind frame. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to build habits, and sometimes it feels hard to do things you don't always feel like doing. Because for me, when I first started to take that time and to switch my priorities, I didn't feel like going to the Word. I felt like sleeping, or I felt like scrolling. But when you actually take the time and learn to delight in that time, it changes your perspective and it changes your heart too, because the more that you spend time in the Word, the more you become like Jesus, and the more you hunger and the more you thirst and the more that you just want to be with him. And so I know for me, I love my evenings and I get to spend time with Jesus. Like, we actually get to do that. And so my heart through this book is that you would create a space where you actually love to spend time with him, where it's so exciting, where above all, you're so excited. And I know for those of you who are married, coming home from work and seeing your spouse, that's probably an awesome, exciting experience. And you're like, yes, like, I get to go home and it's like my safe place. But how about you get to go and spend time with Jesus first and foremost? And it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And so I want to highlight that word prosper in Hebrew, and I might pronounce this wrong, so I apologize, is Soleak. Soleak. One of you can correct me if you know it. But that actually means to push forward or to break out, to come mightily, to go over, be good, be profitable, and it means prosperity. So whatever we do prospers. whatever we do breaks out and makes us come mightily. So when we dig our roots deep in him and we produce fruit, it produces fruit that helps us to prosper. And so it's not only like when I feel like we often think of when we produce fruit, it's for others because, you know, you think of a tree and it's producing fruit for other people. And that's so true. But also it's for us too. And so he makes us prosper. And then that blesses other people. Because when we are digging our roots deep and we're in that place with the Lord, in that secret place, and we are just overflowing in those rivers, we actually then are representing Jesus in such a way that every time people come and spend time with us, that they're actually encountering Jesus through us. And so I feel like that's an important thing for us to understand, that our relationship with the Lord is not only beneficial for us, but it also is beneficial for the nations. Like if we want to see revival in the nations, we have to see it first in ourselves. And that's a word that the Lord gave me just before we start. I wrote the book and we started the school, actually. It was inside out revival. And when I sat with the Lord on what he was saying through that, he revealed to me that it's a revival inside of us. And when we have that personal revival inside of us, that it is going to just flow forth through the nations. And we are going to see a mass revival. We're going to see so many souls saved because of what we do and the way that we position ourselves. And so the deeper our intimacy is with the Lord, the more beneficial we are for the kingdom. And I know that in scripture, we often see the effectiveness of people in ministry was actually a direct reflection of their relationship with Jesus. So if you think of like Moses and Joshua and Daniel, when they were really strong in the Lord and strong in their faith, they actually produced so much fruit. And they were so effective in the kingdom. And I thought that's really, really cool to see. I just love the word because we are left with nothing. Like we lack nothing. Everything we need is in the word of God. And so when we are soaking ourselves in this and we are eating it up, there's actually nothing that we can lack. And we are actually so beneficial for the kingdom. And so my heart is that you would grow hungry and thirsty for the word, and that's going to bring revival inside of you, and then that's going to flow out to the nations. And so talking about the secret place, the Hebrew word for that is actually sather, and that means to hide or to be concealed. And that word is used in Psalm 91 and Psalm 32 verse 7. And I'm going to read that Psalm 32, verse 7. It says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." And then Psalm 91, verse 1 reads, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we're actually going to unpack that. I didn't plan on doing that, but we are. So, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that word dwells in Hebrew is yasab, and that means to sit and remain, abide, stay, or marry, or even endure, and they're the Strong's definitions. And those words show us that dwelling in the secret place doesn't mean to just come and go. So you're not just coming into that place with the Lord and spending time with him and then going on about your day. You're actually going in there and you're remaining in there. It says those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And abide is also one of the meanings of the word dwells. And so when it says that we shall abide there, I decided to take a little bit of a deep dive into more of what that meant. And it says, they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so I'm going to get you to go to Acts chapter 5, verse 15. And that says, "They brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." And that word overshadow, I feel like I had such a beautiful revelation with the Lord. In Greek, it's episkiazo, and that means to throw shade upon. And in the Strong's definition, it says to envelop in a haze of brilliancy, figuratively to invest with preternatural influence. And the Thayer's Greek lexicon says, a use of the word which seems to have been drawn from the familiar Old Testament idea of a cloud as symbolizing the immediate presence and power of God. So I feel like this is just painting such a beautiful picture. Like, can you imagine when they brought the sick into the streets and they're believing that as they're laying them down here and Peter's walking by, that just his shadow is going to heal them. So there's so much power in this word overshadowing. And in the Helps Word Studies, it says, when looking at the word episkiazo, it says, episkiazo, overshadow, is used in the New Testament of God's overshadowing presence, which always brings his boule plan to pass. And that word boule is God's immutable, unchanging over time, unable to be changed will for physical circumstances. And when I was reading this, I thought, wow, how cool is that? When we learn how to cultivate that relationship with God and learn how to abide in his presence and stay and remain and dwell in that place, it's actually bringing his unchanging, unable to be changed will for our physical circumstances. And I think that is so cool. And so when in James chapter 4 verse 8 it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So when we actually take the time to do that, and that's a choice for us. So we're given this invitation, as it says in Revelation 3, we're given that personal invitation. He says, knock, I'm knocking at you at the door of your heart and I want you to open it. I'm inviting you to dine with me. And when we take that invitation and we say, yes, I want to spend time with you, Lord. I want to get to that place. I want to get to know you on a whole new level. He will draw near to us. It's a promise. It doesn't say draw near to God and he might draw near to you. It says he will draw near to you. And so I've clung on to that. I mean, there's times where I've gone to spend time with the Lord and I'm like, oh, I just don't really feel you here. Like, I'm struggling and things aren't looking the way that I want them to look. But it's in those times that I've learned my most valuable lessons. And I look back and I'm like, wow, God was actually with me. And here I am complaining, being like, God, where are you? If only I had opened my eyes and realized. And I'm like, oh. And so now I'm so much more intentional when I'm struggling or when I don't feel like I'm, you know, getting to that intimate place and I'm not having that amazing encounter that I am expecting to have, I stop and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm so sorry for putting you in a box. I'm sorry that this is how I'm basically telling you how to respond to me, whereas I should just be coming to him with love and adoration and praise, and he will respond to me in whatever way he needs to respond to me. And so it's something that I've had to learn for myself, that coming before the Lord and spending time with him doesn't always look like the picture that I paint it to be. And so I think that's important as well. And it also encourages us to think outside the box and to learn to hear God in different ways, to learn to see him in the picture. And I feel like he gives us all of these incredible puzzle pieces. And when we put them all together, it just makes a beautiful creation. And that is our lives. Like, he's constantly giving us little puzzle pieces. And when we carry them and when we take each one and we place it where it needs to be placed, and he'll always show you where it needs to go, it is just so beautiful to see what he creates with your life. But it takes an act of surrender and it takes an obedience. So he gives us an invitation and it's our responsibility to take it and run with it and say, yes, God. And so sometimes that means letting go of things. And so when we live in a place of complete surrender, it helps us to get to the secret place with him. And so I'm going to go to Jeremiah 18, and I didn't plan that either. And we're going to read from verse 4, and it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And I love that scripture. I love the imagery I get with that scripture, that I'm in the hands of the Lord, and that as I take the time to surrender to Him, that He is molding me and shaping me. And sometimes it's uncomfortable, sometimes it's messy. If you think of a clay on a potter's wheel, it doesn't always look perfect, and sometimes it'll go into a funny shape, and I can only imagine, I'm not a potter, but I can only imagine sometimes like, oh no, this isn't what I really imagined it to look like. And I feel like that's sometimes like the Lord with us thinking, oh, what are you doing? But in the end, He just makes something so beautiful out of what looked so messy. And so I love that, but it's an act of surrender saying, yes, God, I'm willing to go on that potter's wheel. I'm willing to sit in your hands and be molded and shaped and refined and purified. And so I'm going to actually do a little demonstration. So I've got some water and some rocks here. And this is going to be a demonstration about what surrender looks like. And just how much more of God that we can experience in our lives when we take the time to surrender to Him. And so, if you have a look and you imagine that this cup is you, and I've got some rocks in here, I don't know if you can see clearly, but these rocks just represent the things in your life that you're holding onto. It might be finances. It might even be things that you don't even realize are there, like things that distract you and that pull you away, just things that come up in our life. It might be past traumas, past hurts, things that sometimes, as I said, we don't even know are there. And when we ask Jesus into our hearts, He comes and He fills us with His Holy Spirit. And so this water represents that, represents Jesus. And so when we give our hearts to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That is without doubt. We are made in His likeness, made in His image, and we have Him. But when there's things in our life that are holding us back, it actually prevents us from walking in the fullness of all that He has for us. And so, as you can see, the cup's pretty full right now. But if I was to start taking out some rocks, suddenly the water goes down and there's space for more. And so, like, imagine this is your finances. That's an area that I held so tightly onto, especially being a single mum. I did not want to surrender my finances to the Lord because I felt like if I was in control, it would be okay. And then I learnt to tithe and to give. And that was just one little act of surrender. And then as I spent time with the Lord, I asked Him to reveal to me the things, the hurts, the things from my past that I needed to let go of that were contaminating me or that were holding me back from giving Him my everything. And so we take those out and we let those go. We sit at the feet of Jesus and we let Him have all of us and we say, Lord, empty me. And then all of a sudden, we can put more water in the cup and He can come and He can give us so much more. There's always, always more of Him to experience because life's hard. And I know it's like living in a constant state of surrender and living in a constant state of even repentance, because I know every single day I don't always do it well. I'm not perfect. No one in here is perfect because we're not Jesus. But we have a loving God and He loves us and He forgives us and He wants to fill us. He wants us to be filled to the absolute brim with Him. He wants us to be like having tunnel vision for Him. He wants all of us. So as we surrender, He can give us more and more and more, and it's a constant thing. You know, some days I might snap at my kids. I might be tired and grumpy, and then I have to go to the Lord and repent and say, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't represent you well in that moment. I didn't show my kids your love in that moment. Please forgive me. And it's like taking out one more of those things and just allowing Him to come into those spaces in my heart and to just shift and change and purify and mold and refine me. And so in 2 Kings verses 3 to 4, it gives us a really good example of empty vessels. And so for context, this is when there was a widowed wife and one of the sons of the prophets had many debts but had nothing to pay them with. And so she cries out to Elisha, and he encourages the woman to commit herself in faith to God's provision. And the scripture reads, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. And so I want to point out to you that the vessels needed to be empty in order to be filled. And they also needed to shut the door and make it a private place between them and the Lord. And so that comes back to the secret place and carving out that time every single day, because I can guarantee there's no day in the calendar year that you are going to be absolutely amazing and be like Jesus in every single moment that you breathe. And if you do, well done. But I think that we would probably not be very honest with ourselves if we said, yeah, I was absolutely perfect today. You cannot fault me. And so in order to empty, they needed to make a private space between them and the Lord. And so that's why I truly believe there's so much power in carving out time to be in the secret place. And that means sometimes closing the door, and that's why I'm saying day and night, so we can always set our alarms earlier, we can always stay up that little bit later, and taking time to spend and sit at his feet and say, Lord, mold me, shape me, help me become more like you. Help me to love like you do. Show me the areas that I need to let go of and surrender. And it's living in that constant state of surrender to him that he is able to come and just fill you and to just take you on a journey that brings you closer to him and that helps you to represent him well in all of your relationships and in anywhere you go. And you can walk into a place and people will say, wow, like what's different about them? I know before I came back to the Lord, I used to look at my brother and sister-in-law and be like, wow, like their life looks really good. Their marriage looks really great. Like they've got it all going for them. They've got an awesome friend group. And they just love the Lord. And then it wasn't long after I'd come back to the Lord and I had this crazy encounter at the back of my Baptist church. I kind of hit rock bottom in my life. And then I was up the back and I actually used to, during worship, I was scared of anything spiritual. I grew up in a Baptist church and it was very religious and I just thought anything spiritual was weird and I was scared of it. And so anytime I'd feel emotional in worship, I'd like hold it in, I'd stop singing and I'd just stand there like, And then in this moment, I couldn't hold it back. I was just crying and crying. And then when I actually I let go, like I tried to hold on to it and the tears were coming and I'm like, all right. Like I just let it go. And in that moment of surrender, God came to me and gave me this incredible open vision and started to speak to me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that changed my life, that encounter. But it took me going to a place of surrender. And then in that place of surrender, I then also gathered in a community of other people that loved Jesus too. And so not only is our own personal relationship with Jesus super important, but so is community and so is discipleship. And so when my brother and sister-in-law came to live with me while their house is finishing getting built, my whole entire life changed. There's actually a couple of people in here today that were friends with my brother and sister-in-law that are now my best friends too. And so they just came and we'd have games night that said it'd just be hosted at my house because they were living with me. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But so quickly, I came to learn how to have a relationship with God just through watching them. And so they had such a beautiful relationship with the Lord. They'd sit every morning or every night with their Bibles and their journals and they'd do their quiet times. And so they were doing that. So I'd come and sit with them on the couch and grab my Bible and my journal. And so watching somebody else cultivate that place of intimacy with the Lord changed my entire life. And so that's going back to the fact that when we cultivate that relationship with the Lord, we can change the life of another person and pull them into the same place. And so I just want to encourage you with that. That sometimes it's hard. And a lot of the time it takes surrendering and giving up things that we don't want to give up. And I know time is a big one and distractions, something that is so prevalent in our lives these days. But I think in the days that we're living in, it is more important than ever to let go of all of those things and to just come back to our first love and to just take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to give him our everything No matter how hard it is, no matter how much you don't feel like it, push through. And he's going to bless that because that's his desire. We were created for relationship with him. We were created and designed for that deep intimacy with him. And so I'm actually going to ask the band to come back up if that's okay. And I'm going to get you all to stand up. And we're going to pray together. And after that, I'm just going to ask if there's anything after we pray together that you feel like you would like to let go of this evening. And I know for me, that's every day. So I expect to see a lot of you here. But we're going to lay this stuff at the altar and we're going to start fresh. We're going to step out of this building changed. And I believe that every time we come into the presence of the Lord, we don't have to leave it the same. Because every single time that we come into the presence of the Lord, he is going to mark us, change us, mold us, purify us, and bring us to the that place of deep intimacy and relationship with him. But he has to have your yes. He is a gentleman. He's not going to go and force you to do that. He's not going to force you to take time with him. He can't. We have free will. And so we're going to make that decision today to take the time to sit at his feet and to let go and to surrender and to say, yes, God, I'm sorry for the distractions. I'm sorry for the way that I've prioritized other things. I'm sorry for the way that I haven't honored you with the time that you give me. I'm sorry for the way that I haven't spent as much time in your word that I should have. I actually saw a reel on Instagram a couple of days ago, and I know I'm speaking about distraction. I was on Instagram. And I thought it actually changed something in me. I got super emotional because I saw it, and it was this guy, and the writing was saying, like, imagine if we use the word the way that we use our phones. And he was sitting in his car driving, holding the word like this, with one hand on the wheel and the Bible in his other hand. And I thought, wow, we do that. We really do. And then he's walking around. You know how you just walk around, whether it be the shops or the sidewalk, whatever you're doing, and you're scrolling your phone and you're so distracted. And he's just walking around with the word. And I thought, wow, the word of God is like a mirror for us. And the more time that we spend in the word of God, the more we become like Jesus. And that's where we're going to see revival, when we're living in that place of intimacy with him. So I'm going to ask you to just take this time. If you feel to come to the front, come to the front, and we're just going to lay it all down. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you love us so dearly. I thank you, Jesus, that you've created a space for us, that you invite us into relationship with you. And Lord, we just say sorry for the times where we've let distraction and we've let the things of the world come before you. And tonight, Lord Jesus, we say that we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to prioritize you. And Lord, would you just help us to hunger and thirst for your word? Would you give us a fresh love and a fresh devotion to you and your word? Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we get to spend time with you. Lord, we understand that there's so many places in the world that if we were to gather like this, or if we were to even own a Bible, that would be the end of us. And so, Lord, we don't take that for granted, and we say sorry for taking that for granted. Lord, would you just help us to come back to your feet, come back to our first love, and to just devote ourselves to you afresh, to live wholeheartedly for you, with tunnel vision for you, Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to encourage you, if there's things that you just want to lay down, whether it be distraction, whether it be traumas, whether it be hurts, that you would just come. And as you come forward, I'm more than happy to pray for you, and I'm sure that there's a team as well that's ready to pray. But I just want to encourage you to come forward and to lay it at the altar, to let it go. Don't leave this place hanging on to things. We want to be fresh. We want to have fresh eyes for Jesus. We want to be purified. We want to be molded. We want to be shaped. We want to be changed. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your bravery for coming forward. I mean, I could even come forward myself and just, there's always things to let go of. There is always things to let go of. And so I just thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you care. I thank you that you see. I thank you that you see every heart in this building. And I thank you that you love every single person in this building, no matter what they've done, no matter what their lives look like. Whether they're close to you or whether they're far from you, Lord, I thank you that they just love you and that they're choosing to devote their lives to you, Jesus. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would honor that in a way that just blesses them immensely. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would leave no one unchanged, Lord, that you would just mark every single heart, Lord, the ones that have come forward and even the ones that haven't, Lord. Would you encounter them in a fresh way, Jesus? Would they come to have a fresh love for your word, a desire to sit at your feet? Lord, would you honor the time that they freely give, Jesus? Lord, would you mold us and shape us? Would you revive us, Lord? Would you revive our hearts, Lord Jesus? Would you help us to represent you well? Would we be just walking vessels for you to use? Would we be so empty that we are just so full of you, Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you just break any chains or any bondage right now? In Jesus' name, I just declare freedom, Lord God. Freedom in Jesus' name, Lord. That we would have eyes only for you, that every distraction, that every attempt of the enemy to pull them out of relationship with you would be broken in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your desire. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your forgiveness. We love you and we honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.